us a little bit about yourself. Tell us, like, maybe, like, give us a little bit of history. Your growing up years. I know you shared a little bit with me about some things that you struggled with, and then some things that you grabbed hold of.
Sure. So, 42 years young, and as a kid, I played your traditional sports, baseball, football, a lot of basketball. And so I was always athletic, always playing out in front of the street, no matter what sport it was. And so movement was always fun for me. It was always something that we did after school. And it just resonated with me because I always enjoyed playing with my friends and that type of thing. So as I grew up, we went through the phases of like riding skateboards and all, BMX and all your things that your normal boys do. And
Yeah, all
so,
the fun stuff.
yeah, I had a lot of falls and that type of stuff, lots of scars. Falling's part of learning. Gravity always wins. And so that does happen. And I would say, like, growing up, what really sticks out to me now was in sixth grade, last minute, I did a science project and I was fighting it, didn't want to do it. Well, I took a lemon, I got it from a science book, but I took a lemon and I put two copper wires in it, did the whole display board and all of that. I was in sixth grade and I really didn't understand it then, but I really understand it now. But if you take a lemon and you put two copper wires in it and then touch your tongue, you're gonna get like a 9-volt charge. And
I didn't know that.
right, so the word lemonade, I mean, that's how it really started, is lemon actually helps alkaline your body. And so looking back, I didn't know it then, but I know it now, that that's really the first step in health is making sure that your body's at an alkaline state. So it's really important.
I have heard that before. Yeah,
And
interesting.
so it's really, really important because your body's always fighting for that alkalinity, because we have acidic bodies and then we have alkaline bodies. So alkaline bodies lead to health. That's how, like, flu and that type of thing, sickness, cancer, they can only live in an acidic body, not an alkaline body. So
Interesting.
that really stands out as a kid. And at 16 years old, fast forwarding, I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's where my love for getting in the gym and working out came into play, because it was like, all right, I was too small on the football field and I didn't really play as much as I wanted to as I started getting up in the high school years. And I said, you know what, I'm gonna get in the gym, because that matters the most to me, is how much heart you have. It didn't matter how big you were or how fast you were, if as long as you got in the gym, that's where it counted. How bad do you want it? How hard are you going to work in there, and working on yourself? And that's where that really instilled on me as far as a work ethic from my grandparents.
I like that you said how much heart you have. It depends on how much heart you have, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's good. And what your parents or your grandparents, you said, instilled in you?
Absolutely. Yeah, they were a big
That's a,
influence with
yeah.
me. They
Yeah.
come from the South, so they were up at sunrise and
Yep.
down at sunset, and they worked.
Hard. Yeah.
Yes, so I have that still, that work ethic instilled in me. So.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. So you shared with us a little bit about your background. You shared some of your childhood, a little bit of, some of the things that you liked, some ethics that were instilled in you through your grandparents and things. What I want to know, I want to kind of pull out a little bit from you some struggles. What was some of the struggles that may have that stand out to you right now, right just the second that you're thinking?
I would say that nothing was ever handed to me. I had to go, started working a job at 16 years old, and it was something that I knew that I had to go out and hustle for. I still have the reward from playing baseball as a kid, but it was the hustle, award that I got, because I just knew that if I wanted to go out and make something happen for myself, I had to go get it, and I had to go out there and face some adversity, and perseverance was really strong for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, college, I didn't get a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to go out and work at the same time
mm-hmm.
that I was paying for myself to go to college.
Yeah.
So that part of it, just putting your head down and going, look, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the goal that I'm going to achieve. And just climbing that mountain and making that happen for myself. So
mm-hmm.
That would be a big struggle, or I would say a challenge.
Yeah.
For me, as far as just growing up,
mm-hmm.
never ever having someone. We always had enough, but it was always like there was always room for opportunity for me to go make it happen.
Yeah, that's good. With having kind of a athletic background in some of the sports that you were in, like skateboarding and bicycling and things like that, would you say that you like a challenge?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It brings out the best in you.
Yeah.
You know, adversity.
Mm-hmm.
A kite rises against the wind
mm-hmm.
to fly.
Yeah.
And that's always just stood in my head as far as just making it,
mm-hmm.
making it happen for yourself. So
yeah,
the challenge is what, the adversity is what brings out character
mm-hmm.
and who you really are. And like you said about heart, like
yeah, mm-hmm.
That really resonates with who I am and who I want to become, because obviously this is a process and the essence of being is becoming. So
yeah. We're all on some type of journey, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the end destination. It's the journey along the way. That's the fun part. But to me, you're kind of like this calm guy, right? But there's like this twinkle in your eye that is like, and then with the kind of sports that you do as well. There's that something about you that you got that cheeky little something that you hide that not everyone knows, but you like a big challenge. You like to do things that kind of push you out of your comfort zone. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, not making it as a baseball player was somewhat of a heartbreaker for me coming out of college. You know, not everybody makes it to the pros.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, all right, I got to do something constructive here. I'm going to start snowboarding. And I'm very passionate about what I do. I'm going to play full out. I'm going to be the first one to show up and
mm-hmm.
the last one to leave. And
mm-hmm.
I took that same mentality from playing college baseball and directed it into
mm-hmm.
to snowboarding, because I needed something constructive.
Yeah.
And I got addicted to extreme sports, if you will. And
yeah.
So started snowboarding
mm-hmm.
2 to 3 days a week. And then on top of that, I started riding dirt bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And then came skydiving. I just went for my 8th skydive.
You skydive on your own?
I have, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I've jumped 7 times. I free fall. They call it AFF is what it's called.
Uh-huh.
And it's a level where you're jumping with 2 guys, not one on your back, but 2 guys on your arm, making sure that you can basically get to 5,000 feet, pull the chute, and then land the chute. So
oh my gosh.
Yeah. So skydiving's like, each time you do it,
yeah,
it's you're chasing that next adrenaline rush. And so
oh my goodness.
You'll double back flip out, and then you'll double front flip out, and then each time you're searching for that next level, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so after about 6 tandem jumps with my friends, I was like, all right, now I need to jump solo.
Oh my goodness. That's scary.
It is, until you get to the plane, and when you're 14,000 feet up, there's no drop.
There's no turning back. Oh, sorry.
And so, you know, Will Smith talks about it, but on the other side of fear is bliss.
Yes.
And you have to go through that fear to get to God placed on the other side of fear. That bliss. And when you're free falling for 45 to 60 seconds,
mm-hmm.
it's quiet, it's peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
With all the chaos and all the things
mm-hmm.
that are distracting in the world,
mm-hmm.
you really find yourself free. during that 60 seconds.
Wow, that's interesting. So right before the guys that are doing guiding you through, that's the panic time, right? They're watching for the panic time, and then once you pull the trigger, you're good.
Yeah, they're just making sure that you're stable, mm-hmm. and making sure basically that you're arched and that you're flying. You're basically flying.
Oh my goodness!
Because the plane's going 180 miles an hour, and so are you. There's no like drop versus like jumping off a building. So I won't like bungee jump.
Yeah.
But I'll jump out of a plane.
Really.
All day long. So.
That's just why.
It's just that adrenaline rush that you get when you get on the ground. You celebrate with your
friends.
You're
like, thank God.
Yeah, I mean, it is you do definitely, there is a risk involved, obviously, but without a risk, there wouldn't be a reward. And the reward is so great. So when you get on the ground after a skydive, you want to do it again.
Oh, interesting.
So I definitely recommend it if you've never done it at least once.
I've never done it. No, I will do it, but I've never done it yet.
Okay, no. It's on the list.
Not by myself or anything like that, but
yeah, tandem first, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, tandem's the best because you just get to sit back and enjoy the ride.
Okay.
He's actually doing all the work for you and making sure it's really safe. You know, they get on the freeway and drive 80, 90 miles an hour. People don't think twice about that, but when you jump out of an airplane, risk-wise, there's more of a risk to actually get on the freeway than there is versus jumping out of a plane.
Interesting. So you shared some really great stuff, actually. A lot of the stuff that you're sharing is a lot of great nuggets of wisdom, a lot of, you know, some of the struggles, some journey that you've been on, and how you perceive it. You know, that, you know, you talked about on the other side of fear is bliss, but we really have to face that fear. We got to go through it, right? Otherwise, we don't know what's on that side. We're going to be stuck on the other side of it, right? Just not doing anything, staying in our safe zone.
Right? Comfort zone.
Comfort zone and stuff, yeah. But being into extreme sports, it kind of teaches you to deal with your adrenaline, right? To deal with that fear factor. And get through it, kind of. I only know that because I did some extreme sports myself. here's what I want to know. I want to know kind of after doing all of the snowboarding, after doing all of that, when you go home at night. What is it like? I mean, what is it, you know, are you feeling at peace with yourself now and things like that? You know, where do you want to take all of that, all the stuff that you're giving us and all that learning?
Well, I really got addicted to work. You know, Jim Rohn says it, you work harder on yourself than you do on your job. So when I'm off, basically, from work or play, what have you. Reading's really important to me. Meditating is really huge for me. You know, I'll do a lot of listening to motivational speakers like Les Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of my favorites. But also spending time with my family is investing time with my family is really huge for me. You know, it hits the heart and just weighs so greatly for me, and that's part of my journey was actually moving back from Las Vegas because I was, for 10 years, okay. I lived out there, and that's part of was my struggle was finding myself in a place where I didn't really recognize myself, and was about 20-25 pounds heavier than I am today.
Okay, yeah.
And it all makes sense now because I had friends that were like, "Hey, we're going snowboarding tomorrow. Do you want to go?" And I was like, "No, I'm good." You know, I was going in a dead-end direction where I was in a very detrimental place, drinking a lot of sugar and eating a lot of processed foods. And it actually took a seizure, finding myself laying on the ground convulsing because I was in the mentality of living fast, die young, and got caught up in the marketing and all of that stuff, and started drinking a lot of energy drinks because I was in a different industry. I was working nights and bartending, so that was really bad on my circadian rhythms, and I was going against the grain, if you will, and as I started getting more seasoned, 35, 36 years old, I started noticing, you know, something's not right here.
Yeah.
And I need to find out what it is. And my wake-up call was actually, like I said, laying on the ground. I got up to get something to drink and had a seizure. And I was like, all right. I didn't pass away from this, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to figure out what's happening and do
That's
something.
That's your wake-up call.
Right.
Oh, gosh,
the man upstairs was like, all right, enough's enough. You've taken enough shortcuts on your health.
Yeah.
You can only do that so long before it actually catches up to you. And sometimes it's too late. Thankfully for me, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people out there that get into that situation. Mm-hmm. And that's part of my message, is to help those people before something like that happens, or they find themselves in the hospital.
Yeah.
Or cancer sets in, something like that.
Yeah, that's good. Good stuff. I actually do have a lot of friends on the Facebook here. Some are fitness instructors. Others are, you know, looking at getting into fitness. So I like what you're sharing. And I like the information that is going to benefit the viewers as well. But you got some stuff in front of us.
This is my game changer. So I had someone step to me, family member step to me and say, hey, you know, I care about you. And I know that what you're going through isn't you.
Yeah.
And we got to do something about it. And
mm-hmm.
at the time I was so fed up and frustrated and didn't really, like I said, I'd rather sleep all day than go snowboarding. And I was like, all right. Yeah, something's really wrong here. So what I started finding, you know, I had a bachelor's in kinesiology.
Yeah.
And what I started understanding and noticing, I started looking at the facts. Like, okay, the meat that we're eating isn't really good for us. And we're overeating animal protein. And when I started doing some research and finding out that your body can only absorb about 5 to 6 ounces of animal flesh in 24 hours...
Mm-hmm.
Said, all right, I got to make a change here. So I had to throw my barbecue away. And,
Man, the barbecue.
It was bittersweet.
Grill some vegetables on there.
Oh, well, yeah, I do that now. Mm-hmm. But at first, I had to make a drastic change.
Yes.
Because, you know, I realized that, and if you see my before pictures, I had a lot of inflammation in the gut.
Showed me, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here I was an athlete for all my life, and then I found myself in a very, I'm going to use the F word, I was very fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was fat, but it actually, through my journey here the last 3 to 4 years, you know, the gut has more neurological activity than the brain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is where our gut basically sends serotonin to our brain and gets us in a happy mood. So a lot of that's being compensated with what's happening with the food. And I started really looking at what I was putting in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I made the switch. And I said, you know what? My health comes first. Obviously, spiritual health is very, very important.
Yeah.
I would say that comes first. And then physical, emotional health comes second. Because if you have all the money in the world, but you can't buy tomorrow, I hate to bring it up, but Steve Jobs, he's worth $8 billion, and you know, cancer got him.
Yep.
And that's my wealth, is I've been able to turn that around. I've been able to walk the walk. I've been where I found myself in a very, very bad place. And so being able to turn that around is where now I can help people through that process and believe in them and help them.
Sorry.
And help them make that turnaround as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. You know, you said you were 42. Mm-hmm. You look like you're like 30. You know, you look in your 30s and your skin looks good. Your eyes look healthy. You know, I believe you. And I've heard a lot of that stuff that you've said about the alkaline and the, you know, only getting so much protein. I do got some bodybuilders out there that they love their protein. Don't mess with that. you know, but I have a hunch that you got some good stuff in here that replaces some protein stuff, right?
Yeah, the big difference is the super amino 23s, and they're 99% absorbed by the body. And I started looking at the facts. Like, I used to take whey protein. I went to GNC. I went up every shelf. You know, I've been in the gym for 20 plus years. So
yeah.
I looked at, I probably bought every single thing in GNC, and none of it worked.
Yeah.
And I started learning that there's a lot of binders and fillers and